This seance was recorded on the 25th
of May,
1973, medium Leslie Flynn.
Goodness me. I don't know whether you come here to talk to us or talk to each other.
Oh dear, Emily.
I'm only teasing. Yes, of course.
But
you
I
are.
Have to laugh because people talk, and honestly, I was here the other day and there was a number of people and they were nattering away, as if it matters, doesn't really matter. I'm only just saying that because I think that in a way it's understandable, and after all, if you don't talk, you get tensed and all sort of worked up inside, it don't help. It's best to be relaxed and, well, not concentrate too much because that doesn't help either. How are you, Auntie?
I'm very thrilled
because your book's going to be published.
Yes.
Going to be, it is.
Yes, it is published now. Well, tomorrow, I think.
It don't come out for a few days, does it?
Tomorrow.
Yes. I know Uncle Conacher's excited. Old Douglas is thrilled to the marrow.
I love it.
I'm surprised you didn't design the cover of your book, because you're an artist, aren't you?
Oh, that's interesting, Mickey. I was asked, but I couldn't think of anything which I thought was quite suitable, so I...
Anyway, I'm sure he likes it.
I think,
after all, he says it's not the outside, it's the inside that matters, ain't it?
Yes, of course, Mickey.
Of course, I suppose the outside's important because it helps to sell the book.
Yes.
But you've got all them straight lines, ain't you? On it.
Yes.
Straight lines.
Oh, yes, there are. Well, there's a sort of all the wavelengths, or... I thought it was rather appropriate, Mickey.
Yes, I suppose so. I don't know.
Radiating from Douglas's brain, you see. Oh, he hasn't got a brain now. It's his mind, isn't it?
Yes,
the brain is material.
A lot of people don't understand. I mean, they think you can't think unless you've got a brain. Well, you have to have a brain on the material, but over here you have a psychic, how do you call it? It isn't a brain as you understand it, but it's a receiving station, I suppose. It's as if you're able to be aware and conscious of things, but you don't have to have a brain to retain it or to be used as an instrument. It's difficult to explain to people. There are some things we can't really explain properly.
Yeah, I'm sure, but that was an interesting point.
So you did have that photo without your hat on then?
Oh, dear.
Oh, Mickey, yeah.
I saw them photos. I thought the one best one was the one where you got your hat on.
Yes, well, I sent straight to the publishers and they preferred the one without Mickey. You see, you have to leave it to them once they...
I suppose you do.
It. You can't.
Yeah. And I think they might have got the whole of my picture instead of the bottom bit.
Oh, Mickey, I agree about that.
Well, I think it's a pity it's too late now.
Oh, I'm awfully...
You should have hung the picture a bit lower than they got in the picture, wouldn't you?
Yes, I was...
Not that it really matters, I'm only just saying that.
In a way,
but it would have been more interesting for people, because then they might not have known who it was.
Yeah, I quite agree. I was sorry about that.
I think it looks all right, the picture, I mean.
Yes.
But I thought the one with your hat on was, but I don't know, it looked...
Yes, I remember you saying that, but...
You look as if you're wrapped in thought.
Yes.
Wrapped in
thought. Well. Oh, well, why worry? As long as the book's out and people read it and they're helped and impressed and guided and all that.
Yes.
I mean, the whole idea is to uplift people and give them an insight. Yes. I think he did remarkably well.
Yes, I think so too.
Old Douglas knew it was going to get published, so did I, eventually.
Yes. Yes, I thought you came one night and said, the book's in the bag, didn't you,
Mickey?
Oh, yes.
I have been to see you often, as you know.
Yes, that was
old
before it happened.
Of course, if you saw Douglas now, he looks so young.
Yes, I'm sure. Has he got long hair with curls?
Well, some of that long hair, but it's longer than normal.
I see, yes, because I am beginning to see spirit people a little. And I thought Douglas was wearing his hair, it was rather long and curly.
He's a case.
You see?
Who's a case?
You.
Hello, my dear.
Hello, darling.
Well, at last.
Yes.
At last we've got the book out.
Yes.
It's taken a long time, but my goodness me, am I pleased.
Oh, yes,
I'm
it's about
so
that, yes.
happy about it, and I know you are naturally, and I'm sure the book is going to do a great deal of good. It's going to arouse a tremendous interest with people all over. I'm sure it will be an enormous success, and it would not surprise me if it goes into quite a number of editions.
Oh, yes.
I've got great hope of it anyway.
Yes, you said that long ago, I remember.
Now you'll have to settle down to trying to do a follow-up.
Yes.
That's going to take some time, but you've done this so beautifully. I think you have really made a very, very, very good job of it.
Well, that's very kind of you. I've only done a little spade work.
Well, you had to sort of sort it all out and get it in order, and you've had to do a lot of sifting to get the subject matter in and make it flow from one chapter to the next.
Yes.
I think you've done awfully well.
Yes.
I compliment you, my dear.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you.
Can you hear me?
Have you got a replica on the other side?
I have.
Or do you read our books?
I know, I have a replica.
Oh.
Over here we can reproduce anything that we wish, that we feel is necessary or helpful to us or important in some way or other. I think I've told you in the past that we have vast libraries here, all manner and kind of book appertaining to all aspects of human life and endeavour, and I certainly feel that we ought to try and do more if we can together. You've got enough material for another book.
Yes. By a direct voice, do you?
Yes, I think so, because, yes. Quite frankly, with all due respect, I'm grateful, as indeed I know are you, to everyone who's helped us over the years in communication, but I feel when I come like this, I really feel that I'm in direct contact.
Yes, that's
right. You see, other methods have their merit, and they do help tremendously in the initial stages of inquiry, but to be able to come and speak direct in this fashion is so much more satisfying, and there's less chance of any interference or any other person's thoughts intermingling, or perhaps the conscious or subconscious mind of the medium getting in the way. This is, as far as I know, the most direct method, and I find it much, much more satisfying, and I'm sure you do.
Yes, it rather spoils one for any other method, doesn't it?
Well, my dear, this is it, you see. I mean, for instance, in the old days when you used to sit with other mediums, and goodness knows how grateful I was to them, and still am, and shall always remain so, but one had to try as best one could to transmit to them mentally one's thoughts, what one wished to convey, and sometimes they'd pick it up reasonably well and transmit it, but quite often they would put their own interpretation or their own idea of thought would enter into it, and they'd sometimes even quite unconsciously change the context of a sentence and give a different interpretation as to what I was trying to give. You see, this is the problem. I don't think that one can ever, I suppose, completely eradicate the medium in communication. And this method, because it is outside the medium, because as far as we can tell, the medium has little influence upon it. He doesn't consciously or unconsciously affect the phenomenon. This is by far and away the most satisfying method.
Yes, yes, I'm sure it is.
The point is, as you know, we have to speak to you via this artificial voice box. This in itself is something that takes a little time to get used to. In the initial stages, it's not easy. I think that's why quite a number of people, when they first come, have great difficulty. And I think to get their voice over clearly and enunciate distinctly and be able to get also some aspect of their personality, it's like endeavouring to do several things at the same time. You have to remember that which you wish to convey, and in the initial stages, of course, you have to try to recapture memories of past events when you were upon Earth that you can give out as evidence to prove your identity. You've got to manipulate this mechanism. You have to enter into it, as it were, in such a way that you are really part of it. If you are not fully conversant with the method, if you're not able to really sort of take over completely, then you get this confusion and difficulty, and it really, very is indeed very, very difficult, I think,
yes,
in the first
instance. Yes, you do very well.
But once you get the hang of it, once you get conversant with it and become adjusted to it, and you're quite sort of settled in your mind about it, you have no sort of qualms, and you don't sort of allow yourself to become over-anxious or very sort of, shall we say, emotionally caught up. This is another thing. Often when people first come, they're very emotional, very excited, and this is a deterrent. It rather makes it more difficult to speak coherently and distinctly, and also to hold on to your thought pattern and what you want to say and so on.
Yes.
It's all very complex, of course, in the initial
and
stages.
And I expect because you were a good speaker on Earth, it has helped you, dear.
No, I haven't. I'm sorry. Sorry. What was that you said?
You were a good speaker on Earth, too, and able to marshal your thoughts well. I suppose that helped, hasn't it?
Yes, but of course, you see, it's very difficult to put into words often what one wishes to convey. When I'm talking to you, it's as if in some strange way, it's not just only what I'm saying to you or what you're receiving. All other manner of thoughts are sort of in the atmosphere, I suppose that sounds rather odd thing to say. But you see, the whole atmosphere, when one is conversing, when one is endeavouring to contact, is pregnant, if that's the word to use, with thoughts appertaining to all manner and kind of things, particularly things appertaining to the spiritual aspect of life here. In other words, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to clarify my thoughts, I'm trying to get everything in order, as it were, so that I can hold on a normal, natural conversation, at the same time talk to you about things which I feel anyway are important and revealing, at least as far as it's in my power to transmit in language, in words, things appertaining to my life here, which after all said and done is far removed from the material. There are many aspects, of course, of our life here that we have no way to express.
Yeah. What are you doing now, dear? What is your chief work now?
Well, various things. I'm a teacher.
Yes, I remember that.
I visit various planes, I suppose that's the best way of putting it, or spheres, where thousands of souls congregate, live on different levels of consciousness. And I would make, of course, quite clear that many of these souls are perfectly happy in their environment. They're completely contented with their way of life and with what they have to experience around and about them. Very rarely does one come up against people who are distressed or very unhappy. This does happen from time to time, I was going to say, but of course time doesn't exist in the same sense to us, but nevertheless there is a consciousness of time. One sort of enters into a new environment, often, shall we say, on a lower level than our own. The idea, of course, being that we can infiltrate to these people something of life that we have experienced, which is beyond their normal knowledge or experience. In other words, to raise up, as it were, their desire for further knowledge or further experience. And, of course, we've also learned how to not only speak, I suppose is the word, and yet when I refer to speech, I don't necessarily mean speech as you understand it, as I'm talking to you. We can convey, you see, by our thought forces, by the assembling together of our experience that we wish to convey to people, we're able to vibrate, I suppose is the word, the atmosphere over here, and there is an atmosphere, it's not exactly identically like your atmosphere, but it's a very real thing to us, and we're able to transmit on certain wavelengths, I suppose you could say again, this is the only way I can put it, not only what we are thinking, what we are feeling, what we're expressing, but we can also picturize it by, you see, we can transmit thought pictures so that when we are conveying something, say if I'm saying to or trying to convey to people some aspect of my life and the varying conditions under which we exist and the experiences that we've had, we can also picturize it in such a way that as they are hearing our thoughts, which they do hear as waves or sound waves, so they do hear the voice as well as are conscious of the thought forces that we're trying to create or bring out or to send out, they can also see in picture form, in the atmosphere, that which we're trying to depict. And it's rather like, almost like, I was going to say a television set, which is not quite an accurate description, but when you consider that you can sit in a room, you can turn a knob, and there in front of you, on a screen, you can visualize, you can see pictures in colour of something that is happening perhaps 3,000 or 6,000 miles away. All this is in the atmosphere. People don't understand this, you see. This is the problem. If they understood more about these things on your side, and also to some extent on the plains near the earth, where too, to some extent, they are unaware of certain things. You see, people don't suddenly become conscious and aware of many of the things which now are common to me. It takes, for many, quite a long period of time for them to begin to expand their vision, expand their knowledge and experience, and assimilate enough experience to make it creditable to them or understandable to them, such as, although you in your world know that this is possible, that you can sit in a room and see what is happening thousands of miles, all this, of course, has been in the atmosphere and will retain itself, as it were, at least for a time in the atmosphere. You see, anything that is already in the atmosphere, to some extent, can be picked up. And we are able to transmit. We are, in a sense, what you might call transmitters. All right, you could even say, if you wanted to, that we are not only receiving sets, which we are also able to give out. We are able to send out.
Yes. Do you send me these pictures, dear? Because I get a lot of them.
In a sense, I was coming to that.
Yes.
Because, you see, this is what I have been doing.
Yes.
You see, to do this successfully, people have got to be tuned in. They've got to be, as it were, in rapport together. And, of course, that is something that we have been for a long time.
Indeed,
centuries, over many periods of time, we have been in rapport, we have been together. And I'm able to send out to you mental pictures appertaining to myself, my life here, and also experiences. And when you are quiet and at peace, when there's not a lot of disturbance around you, you're able to tune in, as it were, and I'm able to send out, and you receive mental impressions and pictures, all manner and kind of things.
Yes, I see them on the wall sometimes.
Yes, well, this is it, you
see.
You see, this is the tragedy, it seems to me, of the material life on Earth. Vast, vast numbers of people, millions upon millions of people, have no realization of the power that is all around them, that is generated in the atmosphere. All manner and kind of things are being sent out from us. And, of course, the same as, in a sense, this is true to say, things are being sent out from broadcasting stations. They're sending out over the ether, over the atmosphere, all manner of sounds which are picked up by receptive instruments, and now, of course, with television, you have pictures, well,
Oh, and doubtless you're going to be on the World at One.
Oh, this
Leslie.
Is fascinating.
On Sunday, isn't
yes,
it, Leslie?
Yes, I shall be there.
Yes, is it Sunday?
Yes, at 1 o'clock.
But I shall listen, I shall
So that's an interesting point.
But to think that after all these years, my voice is still vibrating your atmosphere, people will be able to hear what I am saying. To some people it will be strange and odd. Some will believe, others will not believe, but I just feel that we have sown seeds, we'll be sowing more seeds, and many will be very blessed, I'm sure of this.
Yes,
very
I
blessed,
hope so, yes.
Because it will to some extent eradicate a lot of the falsehoods and the stupidities of the past and the teachings that have become to some extent changed over time. The real fundamental truth of life has been so cluttered up by man-made theories and ideas, and all sorts of strange things have been brought in over the centuries, which, quite frankly, have so diminished the reality that is buried underneath, the truth, which really is and has been for centuries ignored almost, one might say.
Yes.
I think this is a tragedy.
For instance, I believe reincarnation was part of the Christian faith up to the Second Council of Constantinople in 553.
Yes, the early church were very...
believed in it, didn't they?
Yes,
and
of course.
And then the hierarchy threw it out.
Yes, well, of course, there's no doubt about it. With the passing of time, various individuals came who, for various reasons best known to themselves, discarded a lot of things, threw overboard things which they felt would be a stumbling block to their building up of a powerful organization. It became a very much a man-made thing, I regret to say.
Yes.
Most of these people perhaps thought they were doing the right thing, were well-meaning, but it does seem to me, if one goes back in time and history, one can see these gradual changes taking place, and so much that was in its pristine beauty and absolute certainty and assurance of a reality of life to come, the evidence was destroyed or submerged. I mean, when one considers the Christ in particular as a great example, and one realizes what he achieved, what he did, and the way in which he himself set the path. And man, to some extent over the centuries, has obscured it. The simplicity, you see, all truth fundamentally is simple. It's not complex, as some people seem to think or have made it. The utter simplicity and the beauty and the reality of the Christ and his teachings, the path that he trod, the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no doubt about it that Christ understood that if we followed him, if we endeavored to do as he did, that we could achieve, as he said, greater things than these shall you do, for I go unto my Father, clearly implying that the things that he did were normal, natural things which anyone could achieve or do if they had the realization of the power of the Spirit within them. There is no doubt in my mind that Christ understood these things. They were normal, natural functions within himself that he was able to bring out and demonstrate. There's no doubt in my mind that Christ knew that man was fundamentally a spiritual being with spiritual powers, spiritual faculties, dormant, latent within him, which he could utilize and express in a material sense also to give the encouragement and the enlightenment and the certainty to mankind. St. Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of prophecy and so on, the gifts of healing. And Christ did all these things, even to the woman at the well. He told her of her past. He was able to see into the past and into the future, and knowing even that which was hidden in the present from people.
Yes, he was really a wonderful medium.
He was fundamentally
of course a very, very
great medium, a great instrument. he was the instrument whereby mankind could see the light of the truth of the spirit. And unfortunately, I regret to have to say this, but over the centuries the church has obscured these things, ignored them. If the church would bring these truths back and demonstrate them, this is the important thing, if they were to demonstrate these things in the church, the people would come back and they would have the conviction and the reality which they so very desperately need. No one need fear death. At times I've said this. Death is the doorway to life. Life eternal, greater realization and understanding of the purpose and the meaning of being. We are being. All the time we are in being. We are never stagnant or dormant. We are always moving. Life is constant change. This is what it's all about.
I hope you're not working too hard, though, dear.
No.
Sometimes I feel you are.
Well, there again.
When I see you occasionally. Yes.
When one is working, one is happy. If one is doing the kind of work that brings joy to one's heart, the realization that you are serving, that you are helping, that you are uplifting, that you are guiding, and in some senses, I hope, inspiring others to seek and to find. The whole point is, my dear, that all of us, more or less, according to our experience, are working in some way or other for the betterment of the human race, the betterment of humanity. Each one is contributing his bit, as it were, according to his light. Even those on the lower planes are seeking. Perhaps they're not always aware or conscious of the fact they're seeking, and yet there is an inner awareness that something is lacking, and they only need that little guidance, that little help, that little inspiration that we can give that sets them on the path of true progression. All humanity is searching and seeking, and once they begin to find the true path, they start to tread it, and they begin to discover for themselves many things that once were hidden. This is what it's all about. That's why I come, why others come, because we want to guide the world to the realization of the power of the spirit, which is dormant, latent within humanity, to bring it out so that man may express the things of the spirit while yet in the flesh, that we can change eventually your world and make the world more aware, more conscious of God's will and purpose for his children, to break down the barriers that men have created over the centuries by foolish teachings, by creed, by dogma, separating man from man. We want to see the world brought into enlightenment and into truth, so that the world may be free of sadness and sorrow, that there shall be no unhappiness, no sickness, whether it is of mind or of body, where men shall truly dwell in peace, tranquility, and harmony, and love together, in true brotherhood, irrespective of class, colour, or creed. These are the things that we must break down. We must find a path that all men may tread in humility, and in joy, and in true brotherhood and happiness, sharing and serving together, and doing God's will while yet on earth. This is our purpose, this is our work. This is why I come, and thousands like me, to assist and to uplift and to guide humanity back to the path of truth. You know this is so. And I can only say that the book is the first step for us. There will be others, God willing. If we can, we shall bring at least one other book out. I know this book's going to be a success. I know it's going to be a success. And I know that many are going to be helped by it. That we have done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know that we've done a good job between us.
Yes.
And I'm grateful to
you,
my dear.
Well, you've done all the work, and Leslie, of course.
Of course. We are all instruments, my dear.
Yes.
You are as much an instrument as I am, and I'm as much as an instrument as the medium.
Yes.
And Mickey and all the others
in
this pattern that we are creating.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it's rather like a jigsaw puzzle. There's a little bit here, a little bit there, it fits in. Gradually you begin to see the picture building up. And although we've still got a bit more to do between us to fulfill the picture, to make it clear, to make it distinct, make it so that all shall be able to see it, much of the picture has been revealed and much is yet to be done, but we shall accomplish this. Another book at least before you join me.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, I know that you will get down to it already. There's certain things been going on in your mind.
Well, I'm lost, of course, without it, really.
Anyway, my dear, I must go.
Yes.
But you know...
Lovely to see you. Have you seen Mother?
Yes, she's well and happy.
Good. And Arnold?
Yes,
my
Arnold.
Brother.
Yes, they send their love and blessings.
Yes. Really.
You know, when I come like this, I'm afraid I take up all the time, but they do send their love.
Yes.
Now I must go, but my love and blessings and, yes. Well...
And thank you so very,
worry.
Very much,
I'm
darling.
Delighted. We've every reason to be delighted. The work has been done and other is yet to come, but it'll take its time, but it'll be achieved.
Well, it's been
I
lovely
know you're
to hear
going
you.
To be very happy about it, as I am. Yes. I must go now. Bye-bye.
Goodbye,
God
darling.
Bye-bye, dear.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Flynn.
Oh, goodbye.
Leslie, sorry.
Well, yes, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Mickey.
Bye-bye, Mickey. Goodbye.
It's rather good, wasn't it?
It was marvellous today, wasn't it?
Yes, there's a lot of new stuff in that also.
Yes.